By Judicial Decree 4, Court of Claims, written by Commander James Bondage, narrated by Elliot Daniels. Introduction. You are about to hear the talented Elliot Daniels read the third sequel to By Judicial Decree, which was first published by now-defunct Strict Books in 2013, and has been through several incarnations since. I apologize to those of my faithful readers who are familiar with this story from previous introductions, and I advise you to skip the next paragraph. But for you who are not, I feel a brief explanation is in order. Like my other books, By Judicial Decree 4 encountered no obstacles from Amazon Kindle when it was first published. Due to the unpredictable and ever-changing content standards, if standards is the right word for such indefinite, ill-defined rules. However, this book, along with most of my other titles, fell victim to one of the morality purges that periodically sweep through the world's biggest ebook retailer, and, along with my other titles, it was removed to protect the public from its corrupting influence. My editor at Strict subsequently was able to restore these books, but only by subjecting them to a cleansing process to make them presentable in Gentle Society and at Amazon, consisting of removing many of the bad words and bowdlerizing the explicit sex scenes. Later on, I republished the books myself and restored much of the missing material, as I found these new versions unsatisfactory, to say the least. After that, Amazon struck again, once again removing all of my now self-published novels. These were revived yet again through the kind offices of Selena Kitt and her Excessica publications, after I subjected the books to a thorough rewrite for grammar, typos, and other similar issues, I hasten to add, not to remove erotic content. And it is this final version you'll hear. You may therefore find some variance between this and the text if you have one of the earlier editions. But the story of how the beautiful and aristocratic Erica Nordling had her name added to Rupert Kane's bad list and the subsequent lump of coal in her stocking in the form of bankruptcy and enslavement has not changed. If anything, it has, like a fine wine, improved with age. Anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So sit back, throw another cat on the fire, and enjoy the mellifluous tones of Elliot Daniels, and don't forget to keep an eye out for By Judicial Decree 12, Commercial Treaty, coming soon to your friendly neighborhood ebook store. Regards, Commander James Bondage. Forward. It is only through an accident of history that the ancient Roman legal custom of judicial enslavement by reason of debt is no longer followed. But what if history had taken a different path? Modern physical theory teaches that there are an infinite number of universes. If this is correct, then there must be an infinitude of universes where history did take a different road, and enslavement for debt is still the law of the land. This story takes place in one of those histories. Chapter 1. The Investigations. The slender blonde girl was nude. Her arms were tied severely behind her back, so severely that her left hand was resting on her right hip and her right hand on her left hip, while both of her wrists were restrained by a leather strap cinched so tightly that it almost disappeared into the creamy flesh of her midsection. The bondage had the effect of forcing her shoulders painfully back and together until her shoulder blades were nearly touching, while at the same time arching her back to drive her chest out at a sharp angle, thereby superbly displaying her fine, jutting breasts. Her head was held in position by a metal ring encircling her long neck. The ring was in turn attached to a vertical steel pole set in the ground behind her. She was kneeling on a pair of wooden planks 3 feet off the ground, Her legs were spread shoulder-width apart on the planks, kept in place by more straps around her ankles and upper shins. Her pubic triangle was clean-shaven, or more likely depilated, since there was not the slightest trace of hair or stubble on her mound. The outer lips of her sex peeped open as if in invitation. In spite of the bondage, in spite of the enormous red ball between her even white teeth and strapped in place around the back of her neck that forced her jaws unnaturally wide, in spite of the disfiguring grimace of discomfort on her face, it was easy to see that the girl was beautiful. Her body was long, sinewy, and, as her bizarre pose proved, very flexible. She had green eyes, a long mane of straight golden hair, full red lips, and a charming little up-tilted nose. Her name was Karen Stenstrom, and she was a slave.